Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
Yeah, Max Rushton. He joined me this afternoon because Andy's having an extra couple of days off. Yeah. And this was
I don't know why Andy has a day off, because you don't have to do anything in this.
Yeah, you've enjoyed this kind of secondary role.
I was nervous about it, you know, because it's a different side of the studio. Yeah. I'm not used to it. And
piece of piss, you reckon? I can't say that.
Absolute. I think you can on a podcast.
You probably can.
It was a piece. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm on with Andy a couple of days next week. I won't say that to him, although, you know, I imagine he'll find out. But yeah, maybe it's just working with you, Paul. It was a total delight and a pleasure.
I very much enjoyed it. So we had a chat about various things.
We did. Strippers and coffin carriers.
That got bearing a stretcher and being punched by a pontiff.
Yeah.
You'll hear that. And also you'll hear us chat to Keith Deller, the former darts world champion. We rounded up events at Ali Pally over the last 3 weeks. And we chatted to Simon Delaney, who's always very entertaining, actor, director, Manchester United fan, very irate about what's going on at the club. Did something last night that he's never done in 40-odd years as a Manchester United fan. So you'll discover what that is right now. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max. Yeah. Lovely to see you.
And like we said,
we have done one show together before, haven't we?
We did one, yeah. And I mean, it is, whenever they put us together, it's a huge gamble. But you know, you take two very similar broadcasters. You know, the bosses have obviously looked at us and said, look, they're both quality players.
Oh, yeah.
But can they play the same role?
Do you think they've done that?
I don't know. Or they've just gone through the phone
book. That's an intro. That's not the feedback I get from the management, really. I don't sense that's the case.
I think it's very important to say, I'm coming off the...
I think needs must has been written down somewhere.
I'm coming off the right here in the setup of the squad. I'm very used to sitting in that chair. I've never, ever sat in this chair before. Yeah. It's going to affect
how
I play.
One of us is always going to have the central role. One's going to have to kind of mix and match in a wider position.
Well, that's right. And I would like, you know, in the newspapers tomorrow with the match ratings, you know, I'd like, when they give me a 6 out of 10, to at least acknowledge that, you know, I'm doing what Paul Scholes had to do. You know, they've crowbar me into this.
Square pegs, round holes.
Exactly, yeah. And so I will play, but I will play the Andy Jacobs role. I've read the Daily Star letters.
I know,
so
you're either compiling a ransom note during the show. You've got lots and lots of cuttings there.
At some point, I will have a big rant about Chelsea. But I thought, given that Andy isn't here, I thought maybe you would like to, because you messaged me saying you were nervous about a Spurs defeat.
I was fully expecting a defeat.
Yeah, I'm more of an optimistic, you know, Spurs my big team who win things, and I thought it'll be all right. They're a bit flat.
Spurs your big team that win things.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not a proud boast, is it? Really?
But it's not good news for Cambridge United, is it? Really? But would you like to rant?
Should I get off my chair? I can do it now. We are starting, as we fully expected. We're starting to see old school Rose, and what's his name? Let's call him Jose Classic. We are starting to see that now,
already,
aren't we?
Already
with the ball boys. I mean, certain things in a game you notice and you think, yeah, he had a point there. There were one or two things I thought he had a point with. I thought the first Dele Alli challenge could have been a penalty. It could have been. I mean, it was checked by VAR. They decided it wasn't. Every incident is. So he said it wasn't, but it clearly was. But they felt it wasn't a penalty. I didn't see a lot of difference between that That's a player going and a player diving in, a defender diving in on a player, making contact as they turn back in. The player's being clever. We call it being clever, don't we, when they do that?
Yeah.
We saw in the Brighton game, was it the Norwich game, wasn't it, when Harry Kane got a penalty. They said, oh, he knew what he was doing there, Harry.
Yeah.
He was
very
being
similar
clever.
Incidents, yeah.
But because Dele Alli, of course, he's never going to... You would imagine, really, if four of the opposition players basically set about and were shovels yesterday, there'd still be someone at Stockley Park saying... Yeah, not sure. Can we just rock and roll on that a little bit? That third shovel doesn't seem to make contact. Because Dele Alli, let's be honest, I love him dearly, but he is that kind of lad. Where when it comes to Dele, he wouldn't dive. For example, Mark Noble yesterday, the penalty he gets, Mark's very clever, as Harry Kane was. Mark's very clever because...
He's not that kind of player. He's not
that way. If it's a 50-50, he's going to leave a bit on you. Nobe's very much that kind of lad. But in a situation... Oh, he's a Corinthian spirit. He's not going to dive. So like any other footballer yesterday, bit of a tangle of legs, but he does a bit of a Mr. Grimsdale. And why actually takes Mark Noble down is him butting his toe into the ground to fall over. But it was a penalty. I'm not saying it wasn't. But he was clever, as Harry Kane was. But Dele Alli, of course, is that kind of lad. Mm. So he's never going to get those penalties.
What did you think when Ndombele was injured?
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point talk about Jose's comments, really uplifting comments on Ndombele. He's always injured. He's injured. Yeah. He plays one match. Next week he's injured. It's a concern.
I don't see the point of that. I don't see the point of a player that clearly is a good player. I think we've all seen that he's cost 65 million quid. And I think in little pockets, we have seen that he is a very good player and he can do
that. Touch of the Moussa Dembele is about him.
Yeah, but the ball kind of looks like it's stuck to him and he gets out of trouble and he'll change play. He looks good, but he has had a lot of injury problems. And there's a different way you could approach that. They could say, what of Ndombele? He could have said, we're really frustrated for him. He's a great kid. Mm. He's trying hard, but he's had injury after injury. It's not quite... Look, we'll get there in the end. It's so frustrating for us. But in the end, it's like, he's injured, he's not injured, he's injured 1 minute. It's almost like he's a malingerer. And you think, he's not going to turn around and say, I'll show you. I won't get recurring groin injuries. Life doesn't work
But a penny for the thoughts of Harry Winks. And people made this, comment when Jose got the job. But, he brings off a central midfielder. And I thought Lo Celso looked really good when he came on, was it against Brighton? And he's clearly a great player.
Yeah.
But Harry Winks is a ball-playing midfielder.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know Spurs' pass completion yesterday was 0%. But he must be thinking, when one of your two centre-mids is injured, and the other one is Sissoko, I'll be coming on. I mean, Harry Winks must think, Dyer's ill. So he's the number one for England at the moment, mainly because that isn't a perfect position for England. But he's such a lovely footballer, and Spurs would have kept the ball. And they gave it away for the entire,
game. I mean, they all gave. I quite like Lo Celso. I just feel that he's a little bit lightweight. It's taking him time to get used to the he gets bounced off the ball a little bit too easily. Mm. But that'll come in time. Mm. We've seen with Pepe. Far be it from me to stand up for an Arsenal player, but people saying, oh, they bought a ropey player there. People at Tottenham saying, oh, he's no. So you're kidding. He's really good. Mm. He's just got to get used to the Premier League. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much he costs. It takes a bit of time.
Yeah, of course. So... it was frustrating. Just a bit unfortunate that we're starting already to see that aspect of Jose. And I don't know what went on. I'd love to know what was said. There must have just been some aside from one of their coaches at one moment. He just took exception to something Jose was shouting or having a go at a ball boy. And he's probably taken him to... But it is a great line, isn't it? Yes, I was rude, but I was rude to an idiot. He loves a soundbite.
Nice. Who's the last idiot you were rude to, 1089?
Well, this is the thing. I was thinking this today that, so often you'll see a news story, and this is the way, as Rodney Marsh would say, work in radio land. Mm-hmm. You see a news story, and then as a way for a bit of audience participation, you get people involved. When was the last time you were rude to an idiot? Struck me as a real cul-de-sac. But someone's going to come on now and say, swear at us too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tapping,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But it also struck me yesterday is that who had the worst New Year's? And you may have chatted about this yesterday. I'm not quite sure when the story broke. It's all kind of blurred into one, really, the last few days. So the woman who grabbed the arm of the Pope and he gave her a slap.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a worse start of the year for a Catholic than that? To have the Pope give you a smack.
It might be good in a way. You might never wash your wrist again.
I don't think she'll be looking at that.
If you think it
seems unlikely. Fair play to her. If she's got a slap from the Pope and she's looking at the positives, God bless her. That does tend not to be the case,
isn't
it, really?
You want to do
Have you ever been struck by a pontiff?
I was going to say no. Have you ever been struck? I was going to open it out to all religious leaders. Okay. I was going to say, you know, has the chief rabbi chinned you?
Because we'll get, hello boys, it's David, Chelsea fan, happy new year. Yeah, I was Pope John Paul II stuck the nut on me in a Sunday game. I trodden his foot from a corner, he was in goal. Yeah, we did that once year before. Have you ever seen Pele out and about? And some bloke said, I saw him in the Arndale Centre in Bolton. He was in Poundland in Bolton. So anyway, so that's two completely impossible core subjects to get you. You ever been struck by any members of the clergy? I mean, he is a big Argentinian football fan as well, isn't he? The Pope. I'm surprised he didn't go down clutching his face.
Are we taking sort of volunteers in, you know, the Anglican Church as well? How far down do they have to in terms of religious order? They have to be in religious.
I'm not a verger.
You can't count.
No lay members of the church. Okay, I think you've got to be properly gowned up.
I understand.
So, but anybody in the hierarchy, I mean, you know, we don't expect too many at the
level. We'll take a high priest.
We'll take whatever you got. But if any members of the church hierarchy have landed you one, then let us know this afternoon. Oh, look, the phones have gone mad. That's ridiculous.
I can't believe it. They've gone wild.
Competition to win a car. 0871. So we'll take some calls. I know Andy hates it, but you're here, so
he's
not.
Them, yeah.
0871 722 333.
Have you ever been punched by?
Yeah. Text 81089, tweet to TSH&J. I'm sure our fantastic team there will filter out the liars and the charlatans. But yeah, okay. We'll be doing that. And what was the other one you said?
Have you ever been...
When was the last time you were rude to an idiot?
When was the last time you were rude to an idiot?
Yeah, okay.
Name names.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And he's done it! Peter Snigbeirijk is the first world champion of the 2020s, and he is the world darts champion.
Yep, I watched the game last night. You see any of the game last night?
Do you know what? I'll be brutally honest with you.
I was splitting between that and the football.
I had the football on the laptop and season one of Succession on the television.
Right.
The current Mrs. Rushton, not a sports fan.
I'm sure
Brian
Cox and the Succession team probably won't take that as a compliment. You kept half an eye on Arsenal versus Man U. You're not giving it the full weight, are you?
Well, the volume was on Succession, to be fair to Brian and his friends there. And it's quite a good box set as it goes.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have another... No more than two screens. But I will go back later this evening and listen to Andy Goldstein's coverage of the darts on TalkSport 2 on catch-up.
Of course you will.
Yeah,
of course, you're a company man.
Yes, absolutely.
I think at 2-2, I went back to the football because I suddenly felt Peter Wright may have blown his chance. But then went back to it, and he was flying again, and he ultimately, of course, went on and won it. Well done to him. Keith Deller joins us now, former world champion, was at Ali Pally throughout, so perfectly placed to kind of review the highs and lows of the tournament and the surprises. Good afternoon, Keith.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Max.
Hello.
Max, no excuse not watching the dart. Come on. Put your foot down.
Forgive me, Keith.
Yeah, those last two sets I came back for, two and a bit sets, because you started to believe then. I mean, was it him being great? Was it Van Gerwen just been off his game? What was the story, you think?
No, Peter deserved that, and he won it fair and square. I mean, they were both averaging halfway through, 104, 105 averages. Peter was just brilliant from the first dart. Really, Michael was chasing the whole match. He was, you know, it was. I mean, Michael said, I think he missed a few chances. Well, Peter actually gave Michael a few legs that he shouldn't have done, which made Michael to keep it close. So I just feel that, personally, I think Michael was in and out of the tournament. He's normally 100-plus average, easy, through every match. He wasn't. He got bored, he said, in one of the games in the quarterfinal. To me, I don't think Michael's mindset through the tournament was as strong as it normally is. And Peter had the one scare which he agreed he should have lost in the first round, but he didn't. And after that, Peter was absolutely fantastic and a worthy champion.
And given his record, this is such a huge moment for him, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, I don't think there's anyone more popular than Peter Wright. I mean, when you see the crowd with the colour hair and, you know, the shirt, he is such a popular lad. And also, I remember about 6-7 years ago, Peter would go to every tournament, every ranking event. He kept his ranking. He really did work hard to make sure that his ranking kept as good as it did. He really did put the hard work in. And, you know, he's just got better and better as the years gone by. And really, you know, it's a little bit disrespectful. People said, oh, the UK Open. UK Open is a big tournament for players to win. he won that fair and square, although Michael didn't play in that one through illness. So I think he'll feel better now that he's beat the best in the world and the number one seed, and he played absolutely fantastic.
The thing that people can't get used to, you look at him and you look at this very flamboyant, over-the-top kind of character. Yet when you meet him, he came in and saw Andy and I, and we had this feeling that he'd be like that as a person, but he's not. He's very quiet, isn't he? He's almost kind of a bit uncomfortable with the limelight. He's not that big a personality, is he? He kind of plays the part physically, but when you chat to him, he's quite sort of considered quite shy, really.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get stuck in the lift with old Peter. So, you wouldn't get a lot of high praise indeed.
Really.
You know, comparing him to someone like Wayne Mardle, absolutely different.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, Peter is such, he is a very quiet lad, actually. He's not big-headed at all. He just the way he's, you know, he is. But when he gets on that stage and he's dancing across the stage and the flamboyancy that he's got, I mean, he's a different person, but overall, he's a very quiet lad, and, you know, there's no big-headedness in him at all. He's a good guy.
That must be a small Venn diagram, mustn't it? Shy people with purple Mohicans.
It's not
what you expect, I think.
There was a picture, somebody put out a picture of him in from the 90s as a kind of young player first coming through, kind of boyish, sort of black hair, side parting look. You know, I didn't recognise him. It's quite shocking, isn't it? When did this start? Do you know the story of this kind of over-the-top approach, the Mohican and the dyeing of the hair and everything else?
I don't know. I know the snake bite came about that he got bit by a snake once. I mean, that was something to do with it. I think I saw Wayne put something on Twitter today, Wayne Mardle. I didn't know where a snake bite came about. But, yeah, that's how the name came about. But I know Joe, his wife, is a hairdresser, and she must have said, look, why don't we change your image?
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic move because, you know, for quite a few years, Peter was known at the beginning really for the way he dressed and the way his hair was. But then all of a sudden, the darts kept doing the business, and he was matching up. I mean, to dress like that, let's be honest with their hair, if you can't play darts, God, you're going to get found out. You know, I see some players, I mean, come on with dark glasses and don't back it up. But Peter, fair play to him. He does, you know, look the part for the crowd, and the crowd love it, don't they? They sort of buy into it as well. So, but, yeah, I think, you know, it was a great move because, you know, no one else was like that. And I think if anybody wears a fancy shirt now or something, they go, oh, you're trying to be Peter Wright. He's a nice guy. And, you know, I'm really chuffed for him because he's played in so many finals. And unfortunately, you know, he's lost to Michael. He should have won the Premier League last year. He had darts at a double. And I think, in a way, that done him a bit of good because he knew that he could play Michael over a decent distance, and he knew that he could have won that final, and he should have won that final. I think Michael deep down was maybe thinking that he might just try too hard if it gets really close between the players. But then again, Michael had one dart at double 20 to go four sets all from 4-2 down. If he had took that, would he have carried on and won? I don't know, because I just felt Peter for the whole match was the better player, more consistent and more likely to hit the doubles.
Mm. The Fallon Sherrick story continues. He's one of nine challengers going to feature in the Premier League. And it's been a bit of chuntering. I've seen a few people saying, oh, fellas out there working their way on the circuit, looking for their big chance. But, you know, Barry Herney's P.T. Barnum, isn't he? He knows she's box office. She'll put bums on seats. People will want to see her play. It's a great story. And I mean, have you heard anything from other players having their noses slightly put out of joint?
Well, they definitely will be put out of joint, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, the Premier League, first of all, is not a ranking event. It's an, you know, and darts is an entertainment business. Now, you know, if it was a world ranking event, I could understand that she, you know, should be going through the right channels. But no, it's not. I mean, end of the day, you know, there's nine players that have definitely got in. There's going to be nine challenges over the weeks that are going to come up and have a game. And I thought it was brilliant last year. I mean, Hendo at Aberdeen, well, they must be really rich in Scotland because every time 180 went in, the whole beers went flying. The crowd was nuts, absolutely nuts. But what an atmosphere. But at the end of the day, it gives players a chance to play one match. I'd like to see MVG against Fallon. You know, let's put her up against the best player in the world or Peter Wright. But, you know, at the end of the day, what she did, she made darts. The World Championships a lot bigger because of the press around the world. When you get people like Billie Jean King, one of the, you know, best sportswomen of all time, really, when you think of her. And I think it was Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City. She was quoting things. I mean, it just shows you, you know, what people, celebrities and people around the world were watching that match. And what she'd done really was say, look, women, we knew women can play darts. They can play as good as the men because it's not physical. We know that. But now I think Fallon's going to have a little target on the back now with the boys because she's going to be playing in all the World Series. And, you know, she'll be under a lot of pressure now because she's done brilliant in the Worlds and her form was fantastic. Her checkout percentages were as good as, you know, any of the players in the tournament.
Yeah.
But now she's got to back it up more now because she's going to be playing in the World Series. She's going to be treated exactly as the men, the top players. And like the world, and like the Premier League, whoever plays her, you know, will have a hard game. But also, you know, Fallon's now got to produce the darts on a consistent basis over the next sort of year, really. But, you know, I think it's a great story. And, you know, it's something now that if there's a lot more women take the sport up and there's more dart people take it, it can only be good for the sport.
Sure, yeah. It could well make her a better player playing against better players. So, lovely, Keith. All the best. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Happy New Year to everybody.
And to you.
Cheers, pal.
Keith Deller, former world champion, reflecting. It all unfolded, of course, over on TalkSport 2. Excellent work by our top team on TalkSport 2 over the 3 weeks. And that's been reviewed this afternoon at 3 o'clock over on TalkSport 2, following Peter Wright's win. You'll hear live from the snakebite himself, hear from Fallon Sherrick, we're just discussing, and the PDC's chief exec, Matt Porter, on the history of the championship.
I might listen to that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you can pop outside, have a cup of tea, have a listen. I'll fill in.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, appreciate it. You don't have to do much in this chair anyway.
I'll do my best.
Have one ear on that.
I'll
let you know. I can commentate on it.
Yeah, excellent.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We hear from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer first. He confirmed that Paul Pogba will likely have surgery on the advice of his representatives.
He's been advised to have an operation by his people, and he'll probably do that.
His people. I mean, I think it was slightly tempered, and the Manchester United PR machine then went to work and said, "Well, he didn't quite mean that." What he actually meant was that we've assessed it, our medical team. But maybe touch worrying that Mino Raiola is head of medical at Manchester United.
Well, he needs the extra cash, doesn't he?
I think Raiola. He does. He just make a little bit of money on the side as a club doctor. Simon Delaney is an actor, TV presenter, Manchester United fan. I saw him tweeting during the Arsenal game last night. Wasn't massively impressed. Happy New Year, Simon.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, we're tremendous. Not too bad. Yeah, that one. I mean,
I'm joining you, gentlemen, live from the Olympia Theatre in Dublin. So if you hear noise in the background, it's 1,400 people, including my kids, screaming, "Oh yes, he is!" At a panto.
What you got a matinee coming? When you on?
Yeah, it's on now. I mean, I directed the show, so thankfully I'm not on stage. But I brought my own kids in to see it today. So if you do hear noise, sound effects in the back, It's not my house. I am at a panto.
What panto is it, Simon?
It's Cinderella, Max.
Oh, excellent. Oh,
I won't give away the ending.
No, please don't.
I want to go and see it.
You must have done panto plenty of times over the years as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've directed panto in the UK and I've appeared on panto over here several times. But I suppose we're on to talk about the farce that I was watching last night. That wasn't really a panto, but there are a couple of United players who could do it, a bit of surgery after that game last night.
Did he? I mean, look, it was a throwaway comment. And there was almost a bit of a laugh in the voice, a bit of disdain in Ole's voice, as I said. So it's a slightly worrying comment, isn't it?
He's probably the most frustrating player to have in your squad as a fan, as a supporter, because it causes such anger. Even when the man's nowhere near the stadium, everyone's talking about the guy, you know. And I keep hearing this phrase, you know, we do have a world-class midfielder, and we haven't seen it yet, you know. And I really do think that, I mean, Twitter is toxic at the best of times, but when there's a performance like that last night, it's just, you know, the Ollie out brigade starts, you know. I don't know where I am on Ollie, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think that's the solve of the problem. And I think, you know, you get lashed on Twitter if you berate some of the players. But, I mean, you've got to, you know, put some of those players up for a lash last night. I mean, they just didn't turn up, and they're just not turning up regularly. And for the first time in 40 years last night, Paul, I turned the game off at halftime.
Wow.
I can't watch it anymore. It's because you just don't know what United is going to turn up, and then when that team turns up, it's just shocking. I mean, Lingard, for an attacking midfielder, a player who hasn't scored a goal or made an assist in the calendar year of 2019, and he's an attacking midfielder. His backup is Pereira, not much better. I mean, Luke Shaw looks totally out of sorts. Harry Maguire has the turning circle of a car ferry. You know, he had a dreadful game last night. It's not good. It's not good. And I don't know what the solve is. I mean, the immediate solve isn't getting rid of Ollie, because who do you bring in? And until Pochettino gets another job, he's the automatic link. But take him out of the equation. Who do you bring in there?
Simon,
if Pochettino wasn't available.
Simon, Johnny Norcroft, who knows his football and is from the Sunday Times, has just tweeted, look, he says, I know I'm in a minority, but Manchester United are attempting similar shift to Chelsea, only with generally inferior senior and younger players and a far poorer club structure. They're 5 points behind Chelsea. We all agree Lampard is doing well. Why is there so little understanding for Solskjaer?
Well, look, I mean, Max, you can make an argument for anything. You know, we're less than 10 points off the relegation zone. If we want to go down that road, the United fans can't see what Solskjaer is doing. And I don't care if people say, well, then you're not a real football fan, or you can't. I understand the whole ethic of the youth players and all that kind of stuff, but they're not delivering, Max. Now, you've got to ask yourself, why are they not delivering? And I think the only true part of that tweet is that we have got inferior players. I mean, the young talent is great. Greenwood's great. You know, the homegrown guys, Rashford and all that, great. But Rashford had a dreadful game again last night. But a friend of mine was at the game and said, you know, what you don't see on TV is Rashford is trying to make those runs behind the defence, but there's no one in the midfield trying to put that ball over the defence. That's where the problem is. I mean, we've McTominay gone now for 2 months. Pogba, I don't think we'll see in the United shirt again. So our options in midfield are Fred, Pereira and Matic. Like, Matic 10 years ago, absolutely, but not now. He had a decent game last night, but he's not going to win you a game. You know, Pogba will win you a game if he's on form, but I genuinely think we won't see him in a United jersey again.
So do you think it's a manager not getting the best out of... You said the players are inferior, but by changing the manager, there's still a sense you're going to be left with the same group of players?
Well, that's what I mean, Paul. I mean, it's not the immediate solve.
No.
You look, a blind man can see that one of the solves that needs to happen is that Woodward needs to be put back into the commercial arm of the club, because without doubt, he's a commercial genius. I mean, we've got official photocopying sponsors, we have logistics partners, we have red wine partners. That's amazing. And that money needs to roll in to then back your manager in transfer market. So Woodward needs to go sideways, and we need a director of football because the scouts need to be answerable, because the inferior players are brought in by these scouts. Yes, they're okay and rubber stamped by the manager, but these are the guys who are lining them up saying, look, these are your options. We recommend X, Y, and Z. I mean, people are starting to talk about Fred as a player now, that he had three or four decent recent performances, but 60 million? really.
Did you see his free kick? Did you see his free kick at the end? So you switched.
Oh, it was
off.
Incredible! I think it hasn't come down yet. It's due to arrive. It's due to arrive in Clapham in about 20 minutes. I think.
If ever a moment summed up a game, yeah. It was tremendous. Wasn't
Unbelievable.
It?
Unbelievable! Someone tweeted last night. You know, when you're with the Brazilian player you have is called Fred. This is what happens. It was incredible. I mean, we may as well have Fred Dibben in us. You know what I mean?
I don't know, you pulled a Fred out of thin air like that, Simon. Beautifully done. There are other Freds you could have used that would have been much worse, let's be honest.
I was thinking the same.
I know, in fairness.
Yeah. It would be great if somebody, one of the sound guys at the Panto, had pressed the wrong button and everything Simon has said had just been going out to all the boys and girls watching the show. Daddy, I'm friend.
Daddy's given out about Man United. Again, my poor kid.
Well, look, good. We'll get back to work. Good to talk to you, Simon. All the best.
A pleasure, lads. Happy New Year to you both.
Take it easy, and to you. Yeah, Simon Delaney, there, actor director. I didn't realise that.
That free kick. I mean, it summed up the game in the same way. And you will have watched the Norwich game against the Spurs game.
Yeah, yeah.
An absolute 96th minute peak Christian Eriksen. Everyone's come up. It's 2-2.
Yeah.
didn't beat the first man from the corner. Well, it's tremendous.
Christian Eriksen's, when he finally does move, and that could even be in January, the conversation will be, why, you know, for a man who could hit a pinpoint free kick,
did
no coach ever think to say to him, just look, do you know when you hit those free kicks and you aim, and you, yeah. Why not your corners in the same way? You don't hit the first man in the wall. No one's ever thought to say
that to him.
He is the king of that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He's fine from free kicks. Terrible from corners. I've got no idea why he continues
to
take
them. Do you
think
he just likes being in the middle of the pit? He doesn't like being around the people.
We might find one day.
Not in a sort of snobby way, but just like he gets a bit nervous in big crowds.
In the day before he goes, he'll probably let someone else say when he hits a skulls like volley from the edge of the box to realise that's what he should have been doing. I mean, this is the thing. Mourinho's talking about wanting time to coach the players and then things will change. They're not going to be big in the transfer market, although I think, you know, most people can say they need to do a little bit of business. But you're building your team around. Your midfield linchpin is a bloke that's not wanted to be there for 18 months. Yeah. And that's not helpful, is it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The question I was going to ask you, Max, was this. Tom Heaton and Wesley were both carried off in little incidents. A bit of a blow for Villa, which made it all the more incredible they managed to get the result they did yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, well done to them. But they mentioned the shock of seeing the stretcher bearers carrying off Wesley and Tom Heaton. I thought, stretcher bearers in football, when the people come on, are they trained? Are they part of the medical teams at the clubs? Are they volunteers who maybe what used to be called St. John's Ambulance? Are they medical? Are they just two kind of sturdy lads that are brought on? Because you've kind of got to know what you're doing.
Perry Groves, who was dropped on a stretcher.
I seem to remember
that
story. But I just wonder if you know, I'll ask the listeners this, who bears the stretcher? And I was going to ask you, have you ever borne a stretcher?
I have never borne a stretcher.
No. If you wanted to do it, you'd have to have a mate who had a very similar, because it's a two-person job, isn't it?
I've never carried a coffin either. I mean, I suppose, maybe there's a...
You've taken me to a much darker place now.
I have, but maybe they're similar
That's
skills,
not a
aren't
one-man
they?
Job, is it, really?
No, they're similar skills, though. It could be you could do both, couldn't you? If you're good at one, they're carrying from different
ends. I think you carry them in a different... I think it would be quite undignified to carry... to carry a coffin in.
Like you carry a sofa.
It wouldn't look great.
I couldn't get it
on
the,
back a bit.
Couldn't get it on the shoulder. Yeah. I couldn't get it up there.
Yeah, no, left hand, that's it. No, you're catching the... you can't do that. I've never borne a stretcher.
Either.
I would feel the responsibility, though, if I had an injured athlete on it. And you've kind of got to know what you're doing. I mean, have you used trucks over the years? Remember at World Cups, they had those little... trucks, and they use it in different parts of
carrying sort of really precious cargo, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been on a stretcher? I don't think I've ever been on a stretcher.
No, I've not been on one. I've not carried. If you've got tales of, if you tell us when you bore a stretcher, you were the stretcher bearer. And what's the? I mean, say if you join, I don't know if it's still the case, but when you decide to become a paramedic,
yes,
I think in the very early days, quite a lot of your work is not necessarily a kind of in the front line saving people's lives. That will you go on to do that,
right.
But a lot of it can be ferrying.
It's like cleaning the boots, isn't it?
No, kind of bit. Well, you've got, while you're learning on the job, you're ferrying people around for their hospital appointments that need ferrying around. So I wonder if you're a stretcher bearer. Is it as an early days of a paramedic? That's the sort of gig they give you. Mm. I don't know. Look, fill us in on that. If you've borne a stretcher, talksport.com /H&J, text to 81089 or tweet TSH&J.
I have a question for you, Paul.
Do you really? Okay.
What car do you drive? You don't have to give me just the make.
It's a Volkswagen.
Oh, that is a shame, isn't it? Not a shame, probably. Drivers of Renault motors are the most likely to have a romp in their car.
Oh, my youngest son's got a Renault.
Is that right? So, should ask him. More than half admit to partaking in their vehicle, compared with the national average of just 44%.
Just 44%. Really?
I mean, I don't live an exciting life, but
yeah. Do you drive?
I drive an Audi.
Oh, okay.
They're not in there. BMW drivers came second. Volvo drivers,
and put it like that. Yeah.
Volvo drivers came third, which is a surprise. Oh, he's sensible. Volvo
drivers.
How does
that even work?
Smart car owners the least likely. To pump in their motors. There you go.
Logistical reasons.
One
for
in
that.
Four confessed to cheating on a partner with someone else in their car. And on that note, another survey, Liverpool, top of the league, not just in the Premier League, but for being love cheats as well, apparently.
Really?
38% have been unfaithful. And it mirrors the Premier League table because Norwich is the most loyal city, as only 11%. Say they've strayed.
Is that right? Well, talking of that part of the world, tremendous story, Dan. I know you're aware of this, actually, Max. This is the story of the Ipswich Town fans who were heading to Wickham, and the club gave official advice on the kind of safe pubs that the people can drink in. There won't be any sort of trouble. Not the kind of, I don't know if Wickham have a kind of ultras hardline pub where no one can drink. The Wickham ultras, where you don't want to go in that pub. Not if you're Ipswich, it could get nasty for you. But apparently the official advice was to drink in a fine pub called the White Horse, which is known for its good choice of lagers, sport on TV and exotic dancers from lunchtime.
From lunchtime.
Yeah, they said the owner of the pub said no admission charge and you don't have to watch the dancers unless you want to.
if you don't want to, what is it different? Because it's quite, when you go into a pub, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you, when I go to a restaurant with the current Mrs. Rushton, and very rarely are there exotic dancers, she likes to face the restaurant. She likes to sit and see what's going on.
That's her
view. And I sort of get the. I just get the wife.
Which I think says quite a lot about you and the marriage potentially. Yeah,
maybe.
You're going to get yourself a Renault.
but the point being is, you know, if you go to this pub, you don't want, you know, there must be booths where you can't see the action because that's not for everyone, is it?
I once went into a pub in East London and one lunchtime, and I was chatting to members of the extended family and having a beer. And was aware of some quite thumping disco music.
Right.
And then suddenly alongside me was a young lady who was topless,
right,
clutching a beer glass. And I had not noticed that she had been doing her act while I was talking about Tottenham's very sorry midfield. I felt quite guilty. I just wondered who she was, and I thought, wait, this is an odd collection. This is an odd charity setup. But then it was only when somebody said, oh, didn't you? Because I was looking much like Mrs. I was looking the other way. Yeah. I wasn't looking at the dance
you
floor.
Focused.
I was looking at the stage.
I think I can trump you. In 2006, some friends and I went to.
This was a long time ago, I'd like to point out. About sort of 30 years ago.
2006, so not that long ago. But still, you know, fair enough ago. A few friends and I went to the west coast of Australia. Took in England at the Wacker. We saw Adam Gilchrist score that century in 20 balls or whatever it was. Absolutely hammered we were. But the first days, we went to this pub just for a pub lunch. It was a lovely summer's day there in December. You know, kids running around. There's like a playground and everything. And a couple of us went in to order a couple of jugs of beer and some fish and chips. And then someone else walked in and came out looking slightly surprised. And then I went back in and to order the next round of drinks. And it was a totally normal pub. Everything was normal, except one of the barmaids was topless.
Okay.
Right? That seemed very strange to me, but I sort of didn't, you know, I'm new to the country. I didn't want to reference it.
You thought it was a cultural thing.
Who knows? As I didn't want to put my foot in it, I went back out. And then the next time someone went in and she'd taken everything else off. And eventually we asked somebody, like a family, and we said, what is it?
A family?
Yeah, we were outside. I don't know if kids were allowed in the pub. Yeah. And someone just went, ah, it's Skimpy Tuesdays. She gets double. And that was it. And everyone was just like, oh, fair enough.
Skimpy Tuesdays.
Skimpy Tuesdays, but no one referenced it. It was a,
wow,
yeah,
that was a bit of a shock to the system
again.
At different times. It did sort of, this pub, the White Horse, just going back to the pub. It says they have a daily competition where punters can win a free dance and two drinks by guessing the local, the total combined bust size in inches of all the dancers. And I thought, what a nice little giveaway on the Guardian podcast that you do. Do you think you're going to put that to the management?
I absolutely am not. That's utterly ridiculous.
I think they might go with it. I think they should. No, I think they probably won't. Yeah. So anyway,
Daryl says the White Horse and Wickham most famous as the venue for the Kings of Leon's first ever UK gig.
What about that?
Hmm.
Who was dancing to that night? Yeah,
who knows?
Sex is on fire, apparently. What else have we got for you then?
Oh, plenty. I've got plenty. Here's a good. Here's another survey.
Oh yeah.
1 in 20 of us return underwear to the shops after wearing it.
Oh no, that's
in
bad.
In a poll of 2,000 people, 100 say they take back used undies for a refund.
Man.
Do you want to have a guess who the worst offenders are?
What part of the country?
What part of the country?
I don't alienate part of the country. I'm just,
okay, well, I'll tell you.
Who
then
immediately comes? There shouldn't be any part of the country that immediately comes
go
to mind.
Come on,
that they
stick
would
your neck out, Paul. Go on.
No, because that transmitter will go very slow. I'm on a hiding to nothing, trying to guess. Somewhere I'm going to say, why would he suddenly think we would take back soiled underwear?
Geordies, the worst offenders.
Really?
I'm just a messenger here. 9% of people in Newcastle try to do. I mean, it's got to be nonsense. They're followed by 6% of Edinburgh, 5% of Liverpool. There we are.
Well, if you're in Newcastle and you've taken used underwear back to the shop, let us know. I think it's going to be as lively and rich a scene, maybe, as have you ever been struck by the Pontiff, which we put out a little bit earlier on. So, talksport.com. And have you ever borne a stretcher? And what to do that job at a football ground, what kind of expertise, who are the stretcher bearers at a football match? What's their background? Really interested. Well, I say really. But no, I'm interested to know if you can fill us in on that one. Yeah. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, 08717 223344 if you'd like to tell us. I've never been on a stretcher.
No, Dan says, Dan in Chelmsford, yeah. I was a member of the, he's given the tactics for us. Pretty sensible tactics. I was a member of St John Ambulance Brigade, did act as a stretcher bearer at Chelmsford City for 4 years. We always went onto the pitch in fours and each took a handle, and no, we never dropped anyone. That is the classic formation, is four, isn't it? You play a back, you play a four, you play a 2-2, really a 2-2 formation for the stretcher mainly. Obviously, some of these foreign stretcher bearers have come in with a 1-3 or a 1-1-2 and it doesn't work quite so well. You were two at the back, two at the front. Thank you, Dan.
Well, Kevin said the local firefighters often do a lot of the stretcher bearing. Is that within their role as firefighters or as an extra job? Because it's never struck me before that firefighters would do anything but firefight and wouldn't have any other irons in the fire. Possibly not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I'm back tomorrow with Charlie Baker.
No, oh, dropped. I mean, it's that. That's just that cutthroat, this game, isn't it?
It's a dirty business. And we'll have Martin Kellner joining us. We will have, who else was it? You can remind me again.
Joe Wicks.
Wow, what about that? Yeah, what time of year to get Joe Wicks and make us all feel guilty about how fat we are?
Courgettes instead of pasta.
Yeah. No, he is incredible, isn't he? He's something of a phenomenon.
Yeah, ridiculous,
really.
Yeah.
So look forward to meeting him. And Motti. Yeah, of course. That's right. I forgot. He gave me three people, the producer,
You just turned into Andy.
I just basically, I'm fulfilling a different role now. Doing Don't Ask Me. Okay, we'll catch up with you tomorrow, me and Charlie. Thanks again, Max.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.